I invite you to turn back with me this morning to Romans chapter 4. My subject this morning is faith. What, how, and why. That's what he tells us in this chapter. What it is, how it's obtained, and why. Now the theme of Romans is free justification by the righteousness of Christ by way of the obedience of our representative and substitute, Jesus Christ. And it's given to us, in particular us, by imputation through faith. It's through faith in his blood, Romans 3:24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins. What is justification? What is justification? Somebody said, just as if you'd never sinned. Well, I won't argue with that. That's not too bad, but justification is being pronounced innocent. If God justifies you, he's declaring you innocent of all wrongdoing. Who shall lay anything to the account of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who's going to lay anything to your account? Now, if you've done something, something could be laid to your account. But all your sins have been paid for. And they were never charged to you. They were charged to our substitute. It means to demonstrate or prove to be just. To be declared free of all blame. In Romans 5:18 it says, therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. All that was in Adam, guilty, condemned. All that's in Christ, justified. Justified. By their righteousness? No, by his. By his. Whereas by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. There are two federal heads set forth in the scripture, Adam and Christ. Adam, the man, was first by manifestation and called in 1 Corinthians 15:45 the first Adam, the first man. Christ called the second Adam. But he predated the first Adam, but he was second in manifestation, and therefore he calls him the second Adam. The first is of the earth earthly, the second man is the Lord from heaven. He's the God-man. He's the God-man. And I'm telling you this because by these two men comes life or death. Life or death. In Adam, all die. All die in Christ. Even so, just like in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Paul's already showed us, and he showed us this by historic fact and by scripture, that all men, both Jew and Gentile, are all under sin. He proves it to us. Proves it to us. None righteous, none good. None that understandeth, and none that seeketh after God. All gone out of the way, together become unprofitable. All have sinned. Romans 3:23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So if I look out on humanity, and I see that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and there's none righteous, how in the world are they going to be just before God? not even a slight possibility, but for the intervention of God. So what are you trying to say, preacher? I'm laboring to point out that salvation must come to you from God. From God. It's His. It's in His hands. It's already accomplished. It's already done. It's in His hands. Now who's He going to give it to? Is He sitting up there waiting on you to exercise your will? Is He sitting up there waiting on you to make a decision? He pacing back and forth worried that ain't anybody going to choose Him. Huh? No. No. This salvation has been secured for His elect. How's He going to give it to them? How are they going to know that Christ died for them? That they were actually, when Christ rose from that dead, from that tomb, they were actually justified. This is God declaring to the whole world, devils in hell, this man is justified. He's justified. And all whom He represented, He was delivered for our offenses, raised again for our justification. Salvation, because it cannot come from fallen men, must of necessity come by way of another head. And that not after the fact, but long before. Long before. We are all partakers of our father Adam's condemnation, and even so all God's elect are partakers of our representative in whom we were chosen long before Adam ever had a being. Election in Christ is a plain, established declaration of Holy Scripture. Don't you ever let anybody sell you on the notion of universal salvation. It just is not so. Not so. It's not in the Scriptures anywhere. He says we're blessed in heavenly places in Christ with all spiritual blessings. Whoever these people are, according. The blessings of God are according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. And the reason for our election is that we should be holy. Nothing in us or about us or in our salvation is contrary to the character of God. It's in full harmony with the character of God. We're holy. That's why He chose us in Christ. Holy. And we're without blame. Nothing can be charged against us. Fact is, He tells us in Colossians chapter 1 that we're unreprovable. God can't look at you and find anything wrong. Well, you're pretty good, but you... No. No, you're perfect. You're unreprovable. What a reconciliation. And that we might be before Him being loved. In Romans chapter 4, Paul will now show us what faith is, why salvation must be by faith, and how it's obtained. So let's begin here. What is faith? We talk about faith all the time. Are you a believer? I'm a believer. Well, what is faith? What is? What if somebody come up to you on the street and say, well, what is faith? That's what happened to me. They asked me what the gospel was, and I couldn't tell them. I didn't know. What about faith? Could you tell them what faith is? What is faith? Romans 4, verse 3. He said, what saith the Scriptures? That's what we need to know, ain't it? What God say? Abraham believed God. Huh? Did God give him a big long list? And he said, well, believe. And Abraham went down the list and said, well, I believe that, but this over here, I don't know about that. Huh? No, he believed God. He believed God. I'm going to tell you something. If you believe God, you believe everything God said. You don't believe some of it, you believe all of it. He took God at his word. God told Abraham, he said, get out of your father's house. He packed up and left, didn't he? Huh? Why? He believed God. He believed God. He told him to go to a land that he'd afterward show him. He didn't know where he was going. What'd he do? He went. He went. He told him after him and his wife were well beyond producing children that Sarah was going to have a child by him. Did he believe God? Says he did. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He told him to offer after this son was born, this miraculous son, this son that couldn't possibly be, now he is. And he gets up to about 15, 16 years of old, and he stacks a bundle of firewood on his back and got the torch. And he told his servants, he said, you stay here. The lad and I go yonder to worship, and we'll be back. We'll be back. God told him to offer his son as a sacrifice. Cut him up, dice him up, just like you do the lamb, lay him out on the cordwood, set him on fire. Whew. He believed God. He believed God. Because God told him of his seed, he's going to raise up the Messiah. And he knew if he destroyed that son, God's going to raise him. And that's why he told his servant. He said, we're going up there to worship. I'll be back. And the boy's coming with me. He believed God. Faith believes God. It believes God's testimony concerning creation. Well, I believe God, but I don't know about the creation. You don't believe God. Don't believe God. God said he spoke the world into existence. Huh? Listen to this, Hebrews 11:3. Through faith, what's that? That's believing God, right? Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. There was nothing, and then there was everything. Had to come to pass by the word of God. By the word of God. Faith believes God's testimony concerning the fall and judgment of man. He doesn't reason in his head, well, you know, my dad said and my grandpa said and the world says. And no, he believes God. God said, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. He believes God. That's what faith does. It believes God. It acts on what it believes. It walks that way. Adam was the acorn out of which the whole forest of humanity grew. God put a perfect man in a perfect environment with a perfect fellowship with God. He had everything a man could possibly desire and yet failed. So is God unfair because he don't do the same thing to you and I? Well, where would we stand? Imperfect man in an imperfect world, in an ungodly world, a world full of antichrist religion. You think God ought to just keep over and over? No. No, he did one man. And out of that acorn come the whole forest of humanity, out of him. And no need of continuing. Man died under the judgment of God in the garden, and you and I are children of wrath, even as others. And faith believes God concerning his eternal election of a people. God said he chose a people. So a man stands up, well, I don't believe in that. I believe that would be unfair. You going to call God out on the floor? You're going to sit in judgment of God? My soul. Scripture's so full of election. You know what he told his disciples? You have not chosen me. I have chosen you. And the whole world said, no, that's not election. My soul. I don't believe God. Believe God, they get all dressed up and act like a Christian, but they ain't Christians. They don't know God. They're not followers of Christ. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. He's the blessed man. Abraham is the father of all them that believe. In a typical sense, he's the beginning of the nation of Israel as God singled him out to demonstrate the faith of God's elect. And then fourthly, faith believes God concerning the eternal Redeemer. Salvation rests on the shoulders of one man. One man. You believe that? One man. One man. Either he's able to save or you can't be saved. One of those. In these last days, listen to this. That is, what is the last days? That's every day after the appearance of Christ in this world. That's the last days. We're living in the last days. In the last days, God has spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, and by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Now watch this. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. How'd he do it? By himself. By himself. You believe that? Faith does. Faith believes God. Faith, God said, is the substance of things hoped for. I'm walking on this floor down here because I built it. And it has substance. I put 2x12s down here. I put 3/4 plywood on top of it. It's got substance. I can walk on it. I believe it's going to hold me up so I can walk without refiguring every time I take a step. Substance. Well, what is the substance of things hoped for? Faith. I believe God. I believe God. I don't know anything about eternity, Luke, do you? There's 1,000 things over my head, but eternity's way over my head. I don't understand. I can't even conceive of no beginning and no end, and neither can you. We're creatures of time. But God said we're eternal creatures. We're eternal creatures. He gives to us everlasting life. Well, when's it going to end? It ain't going to end. Ain't going to end. Well, how long is it going to go? Forever. Forever. Faith believes God. It's the substance of things hoped for. We walk on solid ground. That's substance, ain't it? Faith walks on solid ground. Believers walk with God by faith, and faith is the substance by which we walk. We're saved by hope, Paul said, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for it? Faith ain't got nothing to do with that. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things not seen. I'm just so weary of men trying to push me into some kind of an experience to prove evidence of salvation. Faith is the evidence. It's the evidence. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Faith is the evidence. You either believe God or you don't. And Paul tells us Abraham believed God. That's what faith is. All right, here's the second thing. How do we obtain this faith? How do I get it? I see it in the Word of God. I see what it is. I see how important it is. But how do I get it? Where does it come from? Where does it come from? We're not born with it. It's not some secret part of the human body that's produced when we get older, and not something triggered by circumstance. So where do you get it? Faith's not something created by the will. It's not of him that willeth, and not of him that runneth. Romans 4:5 says, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Faith's not the work of men. By grace are you saved through faith. And that faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Where does it come from? God gives it. God gives it. I tell you, you can sit. I've seen people sit in services. I don't even know why they come back. But they come back and come back and come back. And years go by. And they're still coming. Maybe they come because their mom wanted them to. I don't know. That's what Jesse said. He came because his mom kept asking him to come. I came because my mom made me go. Let me tell you something. After a while, they heard. And they believed. Why? In God's good time, he gave him the gift. Paul said, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me. It's not of works, he says in Ephesians 2:9, lest any man should boast. We're his workmanship. They told our Lord, what must we do? They saw, man, they saw lepers cleansed. They saw these miracles of God. They saw the dead raised, demons cast out. All this impossible stuff was done right before their eyes. And they got all excited and they seen the disciples doing it. And they said, what must we do to work the work of God? He said, this is the work of God, that you believe on me, whom God has sent. Huh? That's the work of God. That's a miracle of God. You believe. You believe. God spoke to David through a widow woman from Tekoa. And this is what she told him. This had to do with the recovering of his son Absalom. Okay. He said, for we must needs die, and we're like water spilled out on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Neither doth God respect any person. Are you listening? Yet doth he, God, devise means that his banished be not expelled from him. Ooh, do we believe that? I do. I do. God has means. In 2 Thessalonians 2:13, Paul tells us, God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel. Well, he could have called him by Timothy. Yeah, he could have. But he didn't. Called him by Paul. Called him by Paul. Why? Because that's what he purposed to do. What he purposed to do. It's making us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of enlightened saints. And it's the work of God in you, allowing you to do what no other man could ever do. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. They wouldn't have received him if he didn't give them the power to do it. Even to them that believe on his name, did it through faith. How do we obtain faith? It's the gift of God. If you're going to receive something, it has to be given to you, don't it? I can sit and think about giving you something all the time. It ain't going to benefit you at all until I get it in my hand and hand it to you and you take hold of it. Huh? It's the gift of God, and we receive it as such. And then faith, God says, cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, I won't shock you, but you can't hear a book. You're going to hear a preacher. Somebody told me, well, he's talking about spiritual hearing there. No, he ain't. He's talking about hearing with these ears. Does it have to go past those ears? Oh, yeah. You don't hear a book, you hear a voice. How shall you hear, listen to this, without a preacher? Ain't gonna hear. You could hear a book if he's talking about spiritual hearing. But that ain't what he said. He said, how you gonna hear without a preacher? And how's he gonna preach if I don't send him? So then, Paul said, based on that, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God's preachers preach the word. Preach the word, Paul told Timothy. Preach the word. It's the only light we have concerning the things of God. We sit and talk, and I've been there and done this. You sit, and some of you do. Some of you may still be doing it. I don't know. I found it to be an unprofitable thing. You sit there, and they'll tell you what they think, and then you'll tell them what you think, and then they'll tell you what. It doesn't matter what you think. It matters what God said. Preach the word and leave it there. The word alone is given by inspiration of God. Let me show you something over here in 1 Peter. We're talking about how faith is obtained. It's given of God. It's given of God, and it comes by hearing the word of God preached. 1 Peter 1:23. Very well-known verse. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. And the grass withereth, and the flower fadeth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. Now watch this. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. In James chapter 1, it says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. So, what's that mean? Well, that means be slow to anger, be quick to hear. Be quick to hear. In Genesis 12, verse 4, Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him. Does God speak through a preacher? That's the only way he speaks. In these last days, speaks through his preachers. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. And I know we've been told that God can save a person any way he wants to. So how does he want to? It pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that please. Huh? Is he going to do what he wants to do? Sure is. I want to hear men's experiences out on the river and home in the closet. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's the what and the how. Now let's look at why. Romans 4, verse 16. Therefore, based on what faith is and how it's obtained. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, and not to that only which is of the law, the Jews, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who's the father of us all. Why did God purpose to save men by faith? He said, of these stones I could raise up children to Abraham. Why didn't he do that? Why did God purpose to save men by faith? Well, first of all, that it might be an act of his mercy and grace. You see, behind everything that's going on, behind creation, behind all these eternal appointments, behind everything that has gone on, behind the condescension of Christ into this world, behind all of these things is God's everlasting purpose of grace. He's going to glorify himself, and the way he's going to do it is in the salvation of sinners. That's what everything is about. Get every idea of earning favor with God by your works out of your thinking. Why not? Why not let man earn his way to God? He said, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. Give a man a single thing to do, he'd brag on it for eternity. I couldn't tell you how many times people told me, one thing I can say. No, you can't say that. Better not. Why does a man save sinners by grace? Because of man's inability. He can't do anything. He can't do anything. He has to be given faith. He can't muster it up. He said, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. How's he going to justify? Listen to this. This is in the faith chapter, Hebrews chapter 11. He said, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found. They hunted for him, couldn't find him. Man, he's a good old fellow. Where'd he go? Where'd he go? Because God translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony. He pleased God. He pleased God. Now listen to this, verse 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's impossible to please God. Faith is the gift of God's grace, and every soul chosen of God, redeemed in Christ, shall be given this precious gift of faith. He said, all that the Father giveth me, they're going to come to me. They're going to come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And then here's another verse, Acts 13, verse 48. Paul went to Antioch. He was preaching to Jews and Gentiles. The Jews got jealous over the multitudes. Man, they were giving Paul a hearing, even some of the Jews. So they stirred up the higher up, the women and different ones, and they began to spread tales about Paul and his helpers. And Paul said, seeing you count yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, he said, behold, I turn to the Gentiles. And he quoted that scripture out of the Old Testament that has to do with the Gentiles being saved. And he said, and when the Gentiles heard this, Acts 13:48, when they heard that, when they saw in the Word of God that God had included them in this salvation, that this salvation was accomplished in the Lord Jesus Christ. When they heard this, the promise of salvation to them, it says they were glad. They were glad. And they glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Who did? All those ordained to eternal life. It is a faith that it might be by grace to this end, that the promise might be sure to all the seed. What seed? Abraham's seed. Not Abraham's natural children. You know that can't be possible. But Paul said in Galatians 3:29, "And if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." God has a people, and those people are going to come out of every tribe, kindred, nation, and tongue under heaven. And this thing called faith is a wondrous work. It's a wondrous work. It's completely contrary to human nature. Completely contrary. Having wrote these verses in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, "By grace are you saved through faith," and so on. He says we're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus to these things. And then lastly, it's by faith in order to be sure. God doesn't do things iffy. If he does something, it's done. It's done. And it's done to perfection. Nothing iffy about what God does. If it were possible for us to lose our salvation, we'd definitely lose it. But we're not of them, he said, that draw back to perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of our souls. This is the what, the how, and the why. And I pray this morning that not a soul we'll leave this building without knowing what Paul wrote to these Romans. They asked him about this faith, and here's what he told them. He said, this is in Romans 10, he said, "The word is nigh thee." It's nigh thee. God brought you here. He put me here. The word is nigh thee. Listen to this. "Even in your mouth and in your heart." That is the word of faith which we preach. It's brought nigh to you. Brought nigh to you. May the Lord teach us these things for Christ's sake. Thank you.